We're continuing in Luke chapter 6 this morning. But first, we're going to jump into a little bit of current history. On June 4th of 2008, last year, Ichiro Fujisaki was named as the ambassador from Japan to the USA. When he was appointed, I'm sure that Mr. Fujisaki received specific instructions about his role as an ambassador. And I'm sure that he gave careful thought to how he might best fulfill that role. You know, an ambassador is not to give their own personal opinions or promote their own agenda. Instead, they should represent the position and agenda of their home government. And although he may enjoy his time in America, Mr. Fujisaki must remember that his reward for faithful service as an ambassador of Japan is not in America, but in Japan when he returns. Now, some people say, what does this have to do with us and what does this have to do with the Bible? Well, what about us? Well, where's our citizenship? Philippians 3:20 tells us, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our citizenship is not here, it's in heaven. That's our home country, not Japan or America or Nigeria or the Philippines or China or Ethiopia or Korea. Our home country is in heaven. And 2 Corinthians 5:20, we can read that Paul declares, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are all ambassadors too, that God has placed here to share his love and to promote his agenda for the world by preaching the love of Jesus Christ and sharing with people. Because our citizenship is in heaven. And so our reward for faithful service as Christ ambassadors is not here, it's in heaven, when we return to heaven. Today, we're going to read in Luke 6 about how Jesus also chose 12 very special ambassadors that he called apostles. And we'll take a brief look at some of the instructions that he gave them about how to carry out their role as his messengers to a fallen world. And as we look at this, we realize that Christ has also chosen us to be his disciples and his messengers to a lost world, his ambassadors to the people around us. And we see that the instructions that Jesus gave to the apostles apply to us as well. Let's go ahead and read in Luke chapter 6. We'll start with verses 12 to 19, and then we'll read a little further after we've talked for a few minutes. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 19. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Amen. It was time for Jesus to make some big decisions. It was time for him to choose a small group of men who would form the core of the people who would take his message of love and forgiveness of sins out to a fallen world after he had returned to heaven. It was time to begin giving these men training and preparation by walking with him and ministering together with him and being sent out to minister on their own, we will also see. How did Jesus go about making these decisions and choosing these men? The scripture tells us he spent the night praying to God. This is a good example for us. How do we go about making important decisions? Do we take the time to talk about it with our Heavenly Father and to say, Lord, what is your heart? What is your will, your desire in this? We see again and again, Jesus is going out to pray before he makes decisions, before he goes on to different parts of his ministry. Many times in the Gospels we read about him going off to pray alone or with his disciples. We would do well to pray carefully about our role and about the decisions that we have to make in our lives. In verse 13 it says, when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Notice, Jesus calls the disciples to come to him. And in fact, this is the call that Jesus still is crying out today to the world. Come to me, Jesus says. Come to Jesus. The call to Christian faith is always a call to come to Jesus, to the person of Jesus Christ. The Christian faith is not found in a set of rules. It's not found in philosophical principles. Although there is a lot written about rules and principles in the Bible, but that's not the core of the Christian faith. Christian faith is found in the person of Jesus Christ and in a relationship with him. And Jesus calls us to come to him and have a relationship with him. And we become his disciples and we learn from him. That's what a disciple is, someone who's learning from the master. And our master is Jesus. And from among the disciples at that time, these who were learning from him, Jesus chose 12 to the special role of being designated apostles or special messengers and ambassadors of his kingdom to the world. Now, these 12 men are very special in their role. They are the first chosen as Christ's apostles, and Jesus trained them personally. But in a wider sense, the word apostle simply means messenger, and all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ are called to be messengers of the love of Jesus to a fallen world, preaching the good news of Christ, that people might have forgiveness of sins and that they might receive eternal life in heaven as a gift from Christ by his work on the cross. We are all ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Ambassadors representing God's interests and his agenda on earth in proclaiming the good news of Jesus. Now, there are some who have a very special calling and special spiritual gifts to do this kind of work full time or to do it in a very special way. But all of us are called to participate in the work of proclaiming the love of God. Now, after Jesus chose the 12 and he called them to him, they went down together to where the crowds were, crowds of people waiting. And Jesus began to minister among the people, healing the sick, casting out demons. And then he gave them some very special instructions of how to be good apostles representing him, ambassadors for him. These instructions have deep meaning for us as well. And today we'll look at just verses 20 to 26, and we'll continue with this next week as the message Jesus gave his disciples continues. Verses 20 through 26. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. Now, I think a lot of us are familiar with the Sermon on the Mount. We get in Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7. We're familiar with the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks to the disciples primarily, but also to the crowd beyond them. And he speaks very similar to the message that we have here today. But this, it said, he went down to a level place, right? This isn't given up on the mountain. It's given down in a level place. And sometimes it's called the Sermon on the Plain, to distinguish it from the Sermon on the Mountain. And it's very similar to the Sermon on the Mountain in some ways, but it's shorter, and in a way it's more intimate. It's more directly for these 12 who've just been chosen, and for us also as followers of Jesus Christ. Let's compare one verse from Matthew chapter 5 with Luke 10. I think we have it here, the blessed verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, Matthew 5:3 says. But Luke 6:20 says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Notice the difference? Jesus is looking at his disciples and he's saying, you are poor, and you are blessed because of that. Okay? It's very intimate, very direct to the disciples. And it's at that time to those that he had chosen to be apostles, but also to all of us, because we are ambassadors for Christ. We are messengers of his love. And we are poor. Matthew clarifies, poor in spirit. This isn't about money. Okay, it may have some application in regards to money, but that's not what it's about. It's about the heart. The heart that cries out and says, Lord, I can't do it on my own. I need your help. I need you, Jesus. And out of that poverty of the heart, we cry out for his help. And he comes to us and he touches us. And he lifts us up and he fills our heart with his grace, his love, his mercy, his Holy Spirit. So this is really about the condition of the heart. And in Luke, it's very intimate and very close. Now, Jesus doesn't talk here about how to be saved, because he's talking to the disciples, to those who've already made the decision to follow him. He's not talking about how to find salvation. He's talking about how to live as his ambassador, his messenger in this world. And, you know, we see Matthew and Luke, they're a little different, but they're kind of similar. Well, Jesus is a traveling preacher. You know, he's going from place to place preaching to different groups of people. So, of course, like traveling preachers after him who travel about and give messages, he reuses a lot of the same material, because a lot of different people need to hear these things. So we shouldn't be surprised when we find in Matthew and Luke or the other Gospels passages that are very similar but different, because Jesus is giving the same message to many different people in different places, I think. Today we'll look only at the first part of the Sermon on the Plain, but take time to read it on your own, and you'll find a lot in there. Now, I'm just going to mention for our Japanese speakers, the newer Japanese translations, they omit that first you. But the older Japanese translation, the Kogoyaku or colloquial translation, has it there, Anatagata Mazushi Hito. And I think that makes it more powerful and more intimate. But maybe it doesn't sound smooth in Japanese to say it that way. Anyway, the newer translations don't have it, but the old colloquial does. Just at no extra charge, a Japanese lesson. You, at that time the apostles, but also us today. And what are the instructions that Jesus gives to those he has called to be his messengers or ambassadors? Matthew's version makes it clear it's about the condition of the heart. It may have some application with regard to material wealth or material poverty, but that's not what it's about. It connects to that only because our financial condition does affect our heart. And those who are poor financially often realize that they have needs quicker than those who are rich. But Jesus is not condemning he's not condemning material wealth here, and he is not exalting poverty either. He's talking about your heart and what is the condition of your heart and what attitude should you embrace in your heart. And he says his ambassador should reject the values of the world. What he talks about is upside down from the world, way the world usually thinks. They want to get rich. They want to have plenty. They want to be popular. But Jesus says you're more blessed if you're not in your heart, your attitudes. So he says reject the values of the world and embrace the kingdom of God and the values of the kingdom. You will never be happy if you chase after the things of this world. But you will be eternally blessed if you put the kingdom of God first. Jesus pronounces four blessings in this passage. He's not talking about four different groups of people. He's talking about four aspects of the attitude of the heart of a true disciple. He says, blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who hunger now. Blessed are you who weep now. Blessed are you when men hate you. That's not how the world thinks, is it? It's different than the world. But the world is upside down. We need to get it back right side up with Jesus. Now, if we were to apply this teaching to our situation, living here in Osaka, we might interpret a little bit and say something like this in our own situation. You will be blessed when you abandon your pride. Abandon your pride and admit your need. That's poverty of the heart. You will be blessed when you hunger for righteousness, for the presence of God in your life. You will be blessed when you weep for the lost, for those who don't know Jesus, because they don't know about the love of God. And in prayer, we weep for them. You'll be blessed when you're willing to speak about Jesus and share about his love, even though people don't really want to hear. And they may be rude to you, or worse, because you're talking about Jesus. But there's a blessing in it, in facing opposition with courage and faith. These are heart attitudes. But they're not just theoretical. They don't just stay down in our hearts someplace. They're very practical because they come out and they change how we live when we embrace these ideas, when we prayerfully seek how to apply these principles in our own life in the context of Scripture. We can find more and more applications in our own life for how we live. Jesus also spoke of four woes. He said, "Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are well fed now. Woe to you who laugh now. Woe to you when all men speak well of you." Some people find this pretty troublesome. Does this worry you? Does it worry you a little bit? It should worry us all. We should take time to prayerfully think about this and what it means to us. Jesus is not pronouncing condemnations. He's not judging people here. Jesus will come on the final day as judge of the whole earth. There will be a time of judgment, but that's not what's going on here. I think what Jesus is doing here is he's making a sad observation, a sorrowful observation about the condition of people who live by the values of this world, who focus on getting rich, who focus on their material comfort as a priority, who spend their time just seeking after entertainment, and who are concerned about being popular with everybody. If those are the priorities in your life, woe, woe, woe. That's so sad, so sorrowful, that people should live by such bodily, physical, worldly values. These things in and of themselves are not such terrible things, but how much better to realize we are created for eternal life with God. How much better to place the kingdom of God and seeking after the kingdom of God first in our lives. Another passage says, and then these other things, they'll be added to you. You'll have things. What you need anyway, maybe not everything you thought you wanted. But people who place their priorities on this life and this world, how sad. Because all of this world will pass away. One day it'll be gone. And if that was your foundation for life, what's left? But if our foundation for life is our relationship with Christ Jesus, and if a priority in our life is seeking after the things of the kingdom of God and what is on God's heart and God's agenda, then when the world passes away, we still have everything that really mattered, and we've lost nothing that was important, because it's about Jesus. It's not about this world. If you focus on this world, you'll end up being unhappy, unsatisfied, and without anything in the end. But if you seek after Jesus, all things that you need will be added to you. Now, Jesus' words here seem like foolishness to the people of this world who live by the values of this world, who think there's nothing more important than getting rich. But to those whose citizenship is in heaven, the words of Jesus are light and life and joy and peace and blessing. Because in his words we meet Jesus and we discover his heart for our eternal salvation. To those who are called as ambassadors of the kingdom of God, to those who boldly proclaim the love of Jesus to a lost world, to them, and I pray that's to all of us, we will receive our reward when we go home to our own country, which is heaven. Because here we're ambassadors, living for a time in another land. But when we go home to heaven, we will receive the proper reward for how we have served as Christ ambassadors. You know, we mentioned this at the beginning, but an ambassador cannot seek to find satisfaction in the place where he resides because he's in a foreign land. He receives his reward when he goes back to his own country. And we should not seek to find satisfaction in our lives here where we reside because our citizenship is in heaven. Our role here is to represent God, to represent His agenda. And His agenda is the proclamation, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. We proclaim to the world in word and in deed the love of Christ proven and demonstrated through His death on the cross. We proclaim eternal life, His resurrection proven and made sure. We proclaim God's agenda for a fallen world. Repentance from sin, relationship with Christ, and salvation in the name of Jesus. Filling with the Holy Spirit and walking with Jesus, serving Him as His ambassadors. And to represent God's work in this world, we have to be willing sometimes to suffer insult from the people of the world. Or worse, that happens when an ambassador faithfully represents his own country. Sometimes he's in conflict with the country where he resides. It can happen. The Christian finds that the agenda that God has, his heavenly agenda for the kingdom of God, is often the exact opposite of the agenda of the world. But in walking with God, we are blessed far more than if we conformed ourselves to the world. In this world, we must be ready to suffer when we proclaim the love of Jesus. But we're not looking for praise in this world. We receive our reward when we go home to heaven to be with Him eternally. When we go home to Him who sent us, Lord and God. How about you? Have you sometimes been criticized by your family, your friends or neighbors, your classmates or the people you work with because you speak about Jesus' love? If you're sharing about Jesus' love with the people around you, at some point you will be criticized by someone for doing that. And maybe worse, maybe not just criticized, maybe insulted, and some will be persecuted. And in history and today, still many are killed for preaching Jesus. But we have peace and joy in Christ and the blessed relationship with Him. The Bible is very clear. At one time or another, every Christian will face opposition. We'll all face opposition for our faith. Some very soon, some later on in their walk with Christ. But it's coming. We might as well get ready. But if we remember who we are, citizens of heaven, ambassadors to a fallen world, messengers of God's love, then a little trouble in this world doesn't have to rattle us because we know we'll receive our proper reward when we go home to our own country. So don't be discouraged if it's sometimes hard. Don't be discouraged. Trust in Jesus. Trust in His love. And you will be blessed in that. Luke 6:23, we'll close with this. when you're persecuted. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Wow, I'm persecuted for the name of Jesus. Rejoice and leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven. That is how their fathers treated the prophets. The true prophets of God, who really spoke God's word, often suffered. But in heaven, they receive a great reward. Let's pray. Lord, today, here in Luke chapter 6, we've seen your sovereign choice of at first 12 and then later many more to be your messengers, to share the love of Jesus, to share the agenda of God's kingdom of forgiveness of sins and salvation with the lost and fallen world. I pray, Lord, that for everyone who knows you, that we would reflect on these words, that we would take them to heart, that we would resolve, decide that we will live as citizens of heaven, ambassadors in this world, that we will, by faith, trust in our reward in heaven and have courage, confidence to gently and lovingly proclaim the name of Jesus with all those we know and meet. I pray, Lord, that you would give us a filling of your Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts for that task, that you would pour out your grace and love and fill our hearts. Lord, we are poor. Of ourselves, we are so poor in heart. We are lacking. We need you to fill us again. Pour your grace and love, your mercy, new hope and new joy into our hearts. Lord, today there are some among us who do not yet know you. I pray, Lord, that they would truly turn to you and call out and share with us this discovery of the poverty of the human condition separated from God, and that they would turn to Jesus and be made whole. On that day, Lord, you cast out demons and you healed the sick and you met the needs of the people. And we know you're still doing that today, Lord. We pray that you would drive out every evil influence. That you would drive out every demon. We pray that your healing hand would be upon each one to restore them physically, emotionally, spiritually. We pray that they might be your disciples and grow to be your messengers to a lost world. Lord, we give thanks to you for your great work on the cross, for your great love for us. We give thanks for your resurrection, the proof of the promise of eternal life. And we give thanks that you are here now with us today, and that you will never leave us or forsake us. Lead and guide in all things, Lord. After the service today, we'll have our annual general meeting also. Lord, may your will be done, lead and guide in everything according to your plan and purpose. And give us joy in that as well, in being your church in this time and place. In Jesus' holy name I pray, amen.